It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me is a true Renaissance man. He is an author as well as an athlete and a scholar, also a baseball awards presenter, a swell dresser, a great dancer as well, a fantastic father, a doting grandfather, and a loving husband, and also the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, the longest running show on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Currently the host with long curly hair. It's Mr. Tom Raffio.
Thanks, Jay. Gotta take you everywhere I go. So thank you so much. And the real runner in this field, although I do several 5Ks every month, but and I will be doing the Freedom Run later this fall, and that'll be a tease for our radio guest today. But the real runner in the family is my wife Ellen, who just completed the London Marathon. And had an amazing time. So let's get right into it, because this is probably one of the most compelling guests, you know, that I'll ever have on the radio show. And that is Diane Foley, who's the president and founder of the James Foley Legacy Foundation. And Diane, thank you for joining me. I know I see you on the national airwaves all the time, and I see you out and about. So the fact that you're willing to spend time on a local radio show with me is meaningful, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, you've taken a tragedy, you know, the loss of your son, and you've catapulted that into making sure, or hopefully making sure, it doesn't happen, you know, to other sons and daughters of other moms and dads. So sometimes when a tragedy occurs, people can't take that next step, but you have done that, and I admire you. And, you know, we've met at the Freedom Run a few years. And it's such a, you know, that's one of the most amazing, you know, races, but it's not necessarily because of the running, but because of the, you know, the karma that we all feel because of your presence. So thank you for joining me today.
Well, we're so grateful for Delta Dental being our sponsor and supporting our work. It's people like you that make it possible.
Well, we would never miss it. So probably most people know your story, but I think one of the pieces of feedback I always get from the listening audience is spend more time with a little bit more of the background on the guests and the family. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family, and then we'll get right into, you know, what's changed, you know, since Jim's capture.
Sure. I'm from New Hampshire. My husband and I both went to the University of New Hampshire, and we had five children. Our oldest son, James Foley, eventually became a freelance conflict journalist, and he was quite the storyteller, very, very interested and concerned about what was going on in Syria at the time in 2011, 2012. Previously, he'd been in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya, but his final assignment was in northern Syria. And on Thanksgiving Day, actually, of 2012, he was kidnapped by ISIS fighters and spent the next nearly 2 years in captivity and was eventually killed by the ISIS fighters in 2014. However, we knew that we had to keep Jim's legacy alive. He was too big a person and with a huge heart, and would have wanted us to do something with this issue, because our government truly did not know how to help. He was unfortunately abandoned along with three other Americans in that same time frame. So we started the James Foley Legacy Foundation in September of 2014 to advocate for innocent U.S. nationals who are taken hostage abroad, to advocate for them, to prioritize their return, and also to promote preventative safety education for journalists.
So getting back to James for a second. So as a little boy, was he always adventurous and curious? And,
oh, yes.
You know, did you know that even at age eight that he'd probably be overseas and doing all this stuff?
Well, Jim was incredibly curious. He was a very avid reader. he read everything, and he was an incredible listener. Really had good friends because he knew how to listen and take in people's stories. So early on, he was just interested in life. Different people and different cultures did particularly interest him, yes. I had no idea what Jim was going to do, but he pursued it with great passion. It took him a while. He was a teacher with Teach for America first, and had two master's degrees, one in creative writing, and finally he found journalism. He wanted to tell true stories, if you will.
Wow. So Teach, I'm not, you know, when I was reading about him way before this interview, but Teaching for America, I'm not surprised. And of course, I'm a writer and an English major. So, you know, I feel like I have a connection to his legacy. So since Jim's capture in Syria, what do you think has changed in the terms of the landscape of hostage taking and these wrongful detentions? And do you think our government is getting better at trying to address it?
Well, a lot has changed. You know, when bad things happen, good people tend to step up. And it was shortly after Jim's murder, followed by Stephen Sotloff, Peter Kasich, Kayla Mueller, then two others, Warren Weinstein and Luke Summers, all of which were innocent Americans held captive abroad, and essentially who all died, all were killed in captivity. I really felt as a government, we could do better. So shortly after that, President Obama ordered an all-of-government and non-government review about how we handle hostage cases. And in June of 2015, the hostage enterprise was first started. It was a structure that was set up with an interagency fusion cell at the FBI, a special envoy at the State Department, and a hostage response group at the White House. So that structure was codified in a law, the Levinson Act, in 2022, and now exists. So we at least have advocates who seek to bring our people home. However, the landscape has changed in many ways. Jim was taken by a terrorist group that was the biggest threat for any American traveling abroad in 2012, 2014. Now that has been replaced in a frightening way, really, by state actors. Now the primary captors of Americans who travel internationally are governments such as China, Russia, Venezuela, Iran, you know, and these are the primary captors. So we have a lot of work to do. When it's a state actor, it's infinitely more complicated to bring them home. It's complicated enough when it's a terrorist group or criminal because you have to engage, negotiate. But with a state actor, they seek to deliberately interfere with our foreign policy, economy, and certainly our international travel. So it's the Foley Foundation is working hard to mandate a review, a comprehensive review of the hostage enterprise, because it needs improved access to the executive branch where the decisions are made, in fact. So, but it's evolving. Definitely better than when I was going to Washington trying to find help for Jim. I'm very grateful.
So, you know, I read the 2022 Bringing Americans Home, the assessment, which is fairly recent, you know, publication. It was so enlightening as to how far more we have to go on this topic. So if the folks listening to this radio show, if they go on the James Foley Foundation, alloneword.org, what are some of the ways we can help to enlighten, you know, society, put a little bit more, if this is the right word, pressure on government to even, you know, do more in terms of education. What can we do to help the James Foley Foundation?
Well, I feel part of a big part of what we've tried to do is raise awareness. When this happened to us, I was very ignorant about the threats to travel internationally, frankly, and the threat Jimmy was encountering. So we do have a film that was done in 2016, Jim, the James Foley Story, which is on, you know, Prime Video, YouTube, et cetera, might help people become aware of the issue. But more recently, we are involved with the journalist safety curricula that we have for aspiring journalists at the undergraduate and graduate level. But also just this year, we published the James Foley Safety Guide for anyone who seeks to travel internationally. That's our newest publication. Also on our website, we keep track of the numbers of public cases, because those numbers are in fact classified. So as Americans, we really don't know how big an issue it is. At times we estimate it there's every year about 200 to 300 U.S. nationals are held captive or wrongfully detained around the world. But that is a piece of our research that we have an ongoing way. We keep track of numbers that we know of.
So do parents contact you? I mean, obviously we're aware of, like, when Brittany Griner, you know, the more well-known situations, you know, and the most recent Wall Street Journal situation as well. But the unknown, you know, situations, do parents contact you? And maybe, Jay, maybe what we can do is we'll pause there and and Diane can answer that, you know, after the break. How's that?
Okay, we'll do that. Diane Foley is this week's guest, president and founder of the James W. Foley Legacy Foundation. JamesFoleyFoundation.org is the website. And this is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We'll return after this brief message here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, joined by Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this week's guest is Diane Foley, the president and founder of James W. Foley Legacy Foundation, jamesfoleyfoundation.org, having a conversation about the legacy of James Foley, as well as the website and everything else. So Tom and Diane, take it away.
So Diane, I'm just so amazed with the power of what you've done, because I'm sure it was so difficult, and I'm sure you've helped other moms and dads. And as mentioned right before the break, I mean, we hear of the more well-known situations, you know, like Brittany Griner. But as you say, there are dozens of others that no one's ever heard of. Some of it's classified. So do parents reach out to you, and how do those conversations go?
Yes, sometimes as parents, sometimes as partners, sometimes as colleagues. You know, I mean, it really depends on the case. Some families don't reach out for many years, unfortunately, Tom, because most people are told to by our government to stay private about the situation, because there are concerns about making the case public, that it might increase the worth of the value of the captive to the captor. So that's always a risk. However, we're finding that most often when there is an increased awareness, our government tends to prioritize their return in a bigger way. So as a whole, we're finding that it can be very helpful to make it public. It depends, but we always listen to the family. Some families prefer to be very private, under the radar. One thing that the Levinson Act did that was very helpful is it gave criteria for Americans who might be arrested abroad to actually distinguish when it is in fact a wrongful detention. Americans make mistakes abroad, and sometimes, have done things that are wrong, and there are lawful arrests. Well, we're talking about Americans who were arrested because they're a U.S. citizen, and they've done nothing wrong. A recent example is Evan Gerkowitz, the journalist taken by the Wall Street Journalist, So that's, it was a blatant kidnapping, if you will, wrongful detention of a certified, very well-known young journalist. And there, to their credit, the Wall Street Journal has daily had, information about the detention. His family's reached out to us, as well as colleagues. They'll be joining us at the our annual Freedom Awards that we do in Washington to raise awareness in our government and journalist community. So we receive requests from different parties and at different times. So
you mentioned Evan, and boy, when that happened, that was so troubling, because it brought me back to James, of course. And so to be a journalist these days, I mean, what are the dangers that journalists face? Obviously, it depends on the country. I mean, I'm assuming you can going to Canada isn't dangerous, but maybe Mexico is, maybe Russia is. So to be an international journalist, you have to have a huge dose of courage, I would imagine.
Well, you do. And we're feeling, Tom, you also need to know what you're getting into. So our journalist safety program is all about preparing journalists for the inherent risks that they may not be aware of. And we even find that domestically, journalists need to be aware that, particularly if they're investigative journalists, trying to find the truth and facts about a subject that people may not want journalists to know the facts about, it can be, journalists can be targeted right here in the United States. They can be targeted online, they can be trolling and all kinds of issues. But certainly traveling abroad to certain parts of the world, there are increased risks. So our journalist safety program is geared towards a broad review of risk assessment, digital security, and then looking at the specifics of going into a crowd or covering a protest, those kinds of things. We really feel it should be part of every journalist's education to know how to protect themselves and their sources, really.
So tell us a little bit more on this topic of the traveler safety guide. I mean, that to me is such a pragmatic handbook. I mean, everybody should read that, whether you're a journalist or just traveling abroad. So tell us how that came about and who contributed to its creation.
Well, it came about because, we primarily looked initially at journalists, but we realized that a lot of people who go abroad are, in fact, businessmen or educators, aid workers, or tourists. That Americans like to travel for many interests, many reasons. And sometimes Americans are not totally aware of the consequences of going to certain countries. Some of the big companies tend to have security departments that will protect their people. But a lot of individuals who go on their own or who are, in fact, freelancers do not. So we felt that there was a need just for the basics, and like applying online through the STEP program at the State Department, so that our State Department knows when, in fact, you're traveling abroad, where you're going, how long you'll be there, just in case something should happen and one needs to know where you are and get some help. So we just did that really as a service to the good people that we know and so many Americans who travel abroad.
It's such a wonderful handbook, and amidst, like I say, such a good deed for people. All my kids love to travel, and when I was preparing for this, I said, oh my God, I'm gonna get this out to them like now. It reminds me, few months ago, we had a team on avalanches that occur, and there's like a whole, you know, set of handbooks on that as well. And so just kind of using this show as a, you know, an awareness is so important. And we certainly don't have the, when I see you on CNN or Fox, we don't have that followership, but we have a lot of local people who, like you say, love to travel. And, you know, that alone, that handbook, whether or not, whether you're a journalist or not, I think is, you know, is so important. So back to journalism though. So obviously, you know, media companies, newspapers, because of the reality of today's economics, you know, they have resource constraints in terms of, you know, probably the training budget. So have you kind of, you know, the Foley Foundation, you've kind of filled that gap, right, for, you know, helping journalists who may not get the proper training from their own company?
Well, we've tried. We're only one of many, however. After Jim and Stephen Sotloff were so brutally murdered, we did help found an alliance, an international alliance called the Alliance for a Culture of Safety. So that alliance brought together freelancers, press freedom groups, and media companies, recognizing that when you're a freelancer, you do not have the strong backing that, say, Evan does, but with the Wall Street Journal, that you don't have those resources. So what the Alliance for a Culture of Safety seeks to do is, first of all, get access to training, to the best training, hostile environment and first aid training, but also access to security alerts, as well as insurance, you know, and connecting freelancers, because there's strength certainly in numbers. So that alliance is going well and has really helped, because a lot of news media, a lot of journalists these days are in fact freelancers. And so they know how, need to know how to protect themselves and how to know what groups are out there to help them get the equipment and the training they need.
Again, I so admire you, because I know that these independent journalists, is such a quest to uncover things and to go into uncharted territories, and they may not know the, you know, the dangers, and so it's terrific. So this is Diane, this is a great opportunity to sort of make a pitch to, for the listening audience, to become a monthly donor or come to the Freedom Run Walk on October 14th, and for someone like me who does about 100 races a year, I can tell everybody, and I'm saying this from experience, a wonderful course. The volunteers are great. Listening to you at the top of the meeting is top of the run, excuse me, is so cool. So tell us how we can help the listening audience, help be a monthly donor and other ways, because as you know, no money, no mission. So we've got to be clear on that, you know.
That's so true, Tom. Thank you. Yes, you know, to get anything done, we need to be together as a community. And the community of New Hampshire and our country has made a difference. It's making a difference. This year, we will gather on May 3rd in a week in Washington for our Freedom Awards. And we are sold out. We need to get a bigger venue, because a lot of good people are coming together, recognizing the need. Also on October 14th, this fall, we will have our James Foley Freedom Run, and everyone is welcome to join us in person in New Hampshire or virtually. We do it all over the world and the country. Everyone is always welcome. The slightest bit, every little bit helps. It truly
absolutely
does.
Yeah. Diane, you're amazing. You get it. You've taken a real tragedy and really helping society. JamesFoleyFoundation.org, president and founder Diane Foley, thank you for sharing 25 minutes with me. It's amazing. You could do another half hour. We'll have you on again, and certainly we'll see you in the fall. Yay, dog.
Yes, thank you so much, Tom, and Diane Foley, of the president and founder, James W. Foley Legacy Foundation. As Tom mentioned, the website is jamesfoleyfoundation.org. There's all kinds of information on there. as well as registering for the run that will be coming up in the fall here of 2023. For Diane Foley and Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I am J-Dog. We'll be back next time with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.